Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi, I'm David.
And we're the MSA Crusaders.
Hello, we're here again with MSA Crusaders, and we have Susan Murray and her sister Trish with us on episode 13.
Hi, Susan. Hi, Trish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
How are
ladies.
you?
How's it going today?
Good. Thank you for interviewing me.
Daisy, you tell by her voice, she sounds very happy about this episode.
Thank you for joining us. We're so happy to have you. First of all, Susan, tell us a little bit about your life before you were diagnosed with MSA.
I was a nurse for 37 years. I gardened, I swam, I loved life. I traveled a lot. That all came to a dead stop.
Kind of what MSA does to us, isn't it? Trish, tell us from your side of the story, how have you seen Susan decline from the way she was to the way she is now?
So at the time she got diagnosed, then COVID hit. I was living out on the West Coast, and it was about a year and a half since I saw her. And
Came back to bring me to Florida.
no, we went down to, it was May for Dad's
Oh,
88th birthday.
that's right. That's right. Okay. Sisters.
Easy now. I don't want to be a moderator here. Well, easy.
We can't jump in and referee. So, Trish,
Ahead.
was it Washington State you were living in?
Yes.
And you picked up you moved to New York to be with and help Susan out. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
She's
When
my
she
angel.
asked, I was like, yeah.
She's my angel.
She
Sounds
was
like
always
it.
there for me growing up, so
Oh,
10 years older than her.
you're 10
Okay.
years apart, but you don't feel that way, do you?
No.
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 But she's the brains of the facility, so she's got to keep that
So tell me a little bit about what happened when you started having symptoms and when
I
were you
thought I had
diagnosed?
a stroke. I thought I had a stroke because I went in the water. I couldn't swim. I couldn't use my right side. My right leg wouldn't go. And then I was at a wedding and my feet wouldn't dance. And I thought I had a stroke, so I was going to rehab myself. Too embarrassed to tell anybody else because I didn't know I smoked. I secretly smoked. I thought it was a secret anyway. And it was really scary. I got to turn on the light.
Let me just hold that.
So then I went to my, I kept holding my hand in a certain position. My husband goes, "It looks like a lobster claw. You got to go to a doctor. Come on." So I went to a doctor. He sent me to a neurologist. Neurologist said, "You have Parkinson's, not Parkinsonism. You have Parkinson's." And I started out with a frozen shoulder, really. I found out that later that it's very common for people with Parkinson's to have that symptom of frozen shoulder. It really hurt. And my writing was getting macrophagic, really small. And I know those are symptoms of the Parkinson's, but I chose to ignore that. So then
Wow.
they told me I had Parkinson's. I was so relieved that I didn't have a stroke.
So did you say you started having symptoms in 2018?
Yeah.
That's when I started having symptoms.
Oh, wow.
Tell me about when you were diagnosed.
Okay. With MSA?
Well, did you get diagnosed with something different first?
I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. He said, "You definitely have Parkinson's," because he gave me cinnamon and it worked for me. He says, "Oh, yeah, you definitely have it." When I went to him with other symptoms, he ignored it. He ignored them. He told me I was wetting my pants because I had three kids. I said, "Oh my gosh."
Oh, I
So,
don't know where that comes from, but okay,
yeah. He also said you had the slow progression
yeah.
Parkinson's.
So I got a question. When your symptoms started, you said lobster claw, the hands and stuff. Was it only on one side of your body, yes. Or was it like, or was it more one on one side than the other? Only
just one side? The left.
Only one side. Yeah, on so the right side first.
Parkinson's right almost side. Always goes on your one side only. MSA is bilateral, but yeah. Parkinson's is really one side. And then you're talking about responding to sentiment, levodopa, carbidopa. I mean, I wouldn't blame them for saying Parkinson's too, because that's the hallmark of it. Yeah.
I don't blame him either. He's a really nice guy.
And you were diagnosed with Parkinson's when?
2019.
And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2019.
Oh my gosh.
And then when did you get diagnosed with MSA, and what happened to finally make that diagnosis happen?
Well, my legs swelled up so bad. I couldn't walk. I was in severe pain. And I listened to a podcast about Parkinson's and learned that there was a group of neurologists that only see people with movement disorders. So I decided to go there. I made an appointment there. And then I made an appointment for the Mayo Clinic because I knew something else was wrong.
Well, that was also, sorry, butting in. Well, because when I saw you at the wedding in 2019, you had said the doctor told you had the slow progression.
Yeah.
And then it was a year and a half later, I saw you.
And
I was immediately like, slow progression, my ass. Like, what the hell's going on?
Head drop.
Yeah, the head drop was bad. She had to stop driving because, I was like, what do you mean? How can you drive? You can't really turn your head. She's like, I'm fine. I'm like, not with me. Yeah.
I that's one thing I struggle with driving is you don't see it here on the cameras. I'm looking forward, but I'm driving, trying to turn to look left and look right. Yeah. My head does not turn hardly at all.
Yeah. And you were saying something about the frozen shoulder. Were you also having, like, I explained them as Charlie horses in my neck?
No. Oh. No, I didn't have any of that. Okay. My neck does hurt now.
And
what was the leg part? Was that the swelling? Was that pooling blood or was it actually swelling?
No, swelling because I was on a medication.
Okay.
And the neurologist in Rochester took me off of it. And then I went to the Mayo Clinic. And as soon as I walked in there, she goes, oh, it's MSA. Well, we're going to do tests and TIG and MRI and everything and blood tests, thorough exam.
And then...
Are you talking about Rochester, New York or Minnesota?
Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And I went to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Because there's a Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, where I go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Make sure.
And that was in 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah, my doctor spent like 5 minutes with me too in 2021. He diagnosed with MSA. So our story is just basically the same. Symptoms started to 2018.
Did you respond to sentiment?
I did a little bit, but it made me sick, so I couldn't take it. And then they switched me to another one, carbidopa, levodopa, that made me so sleepy all the time.
I know, me too. But I lived through it. I made it till it went away.
They put me on Rotary, which is a slow releasing carbidopa, levodopa.
Huh. What is it called?
Rotary, RYTARY.
Oh, okay.
And that has been my saving grace when it comes to tremors. Oh, we've had to play with it over a few years to get it just right because it would give me dystonia.
Oh, yeah.
So we finally have got it right.
The carbidopa levodopa was giving you the dystonia?
Yeah, because it was too much.
Could that be?
Maybe.
Because she takes an awful lot.
32 hours. 3.5 pills, 32 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, those are 3 hours. There are some pills, there are some add-ons that they have. So I went to a lovely Parkinson's meeting. I go to them every month if I can as a support group. And they had one of the best neurologists, movement disorder from Sweden. Sweden again. World renowned, and he says, you know, it's just not cinnamon and leave it carved up, leave it over, but there's medicines in between that extends the range of it.
Yeah.
And also, because you shouldn't be taking them under 3 hours, it's much longer than that, but You also have patches that are directly infused into your skin, or not shots, but it's a mechanism to basically shoot into yourself to make it more long lasting. Oh yeah, there's way more medicines like cinnamon, but they're delivered differently to last longer.
Yeah, okay. I asked her about that. I think she's going to do that next time.
The battery, I take it about every 5.5 hours or so. And it has been really much better than regular just carbon levodopa.
Yeah. The doctor put me on something that extended it, and that's what my leg swelled up from.
Do you take Lysic or something for your swelling?
No, not anymore. They're not swollen now.
Oh, that's good. Well, what about any autonomic system dysfunctions? Have you had any?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I started wetting myself. It's very embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it at all. No. I don't think everybody would.
Me too.
It's bad. I mean, you don't even feel like you have to go. You can stand up sometimes and it just
flows out. Yeah.
Or sometimes, have you had any problems with retention?
No. No retention, no. Only one time of medicine that I took that helped me with the incontinence, maybe retain. Remember, I couldn't pee.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
It's something
for Beatrix.
No, Mirbetrix.
I don't remember what that drug was, but yeah, you couldn't pee.
Oh my gosh.
You laughed.
It wasn't funny at the time, but now it's like, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I've had like days where I had retention and then incontinence, and so I finally had to play with it again. Incontinence medicine and retention medicine every other day. I have to sit on the toilet, just cough and cough and cough and cough and cough.
Oh my gosh!
Trying to come out.
My digestion is a huge problem too. I'm constipated and I regurgitate a lot, especially when I laugh. When I laugh too hard with Trisha, it makes me throw up. She makes
bad
me throw
Trisha,
up.
Bad.
She makes me throw up.
We're just going to have to separate you two. I mean, that's this podcast. Like everybody says we got to separate you two.
She's so funny all the time.
So it's a good kind of funny, but you can't help it.
She's easily amused. Thank God.
Is that the MSA talking, or is that the normal Susan?
Oh, no. She normally always.
Good.
Yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor with this.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Yes,
if you don't, it's so boring and lonely.
Yes, you're right. I'm glad I worked as a nurse. I hired a lot of people to work under me at this one job, and they're all coming back to me now and helping me.
That's really incredible.
Awesome.
You sound like you have a really huge support system.
I do.
And that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask a question for Trisha?
Uh-oh.
Daisy started it to talk about the support system. And my questions are not going to be the stereotypical ones you heard on the other podcast. I've specifically got some for both of you. Patricia, can you describe the role you've taken on in supporting your sister through her journey?
You took my next question.
Our roles have reversed. I'm like her bigger sister now, just being there for everything, anything that she needs. But her and her husband opened up their house to me, so I live with them. So it's very, very convenient for all of us. Yeah, a lot of things happened. You know, I had lost my job, so I was kind of enjoying my free time, but then it was also boring and, you know, yeah, not much happening. So, but as soon as she said, hey, you know, I could use your help, I was like, I'm there.
Yes, everything up and left.
No hesitation.
Yeah, not at all.
There's nothing to describe that. I mean, I come from a fairly small family. Not that I've ever been friendly with the whole family, but, you know, to have somebody like that you can call or you don't even have to ask, it speaks about your guys' relationships and upbringing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And this across the country. She's there for a lot of it. She's across the country. Okay, I'm not going to cry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, wait.
I won't either.
That money, that's not going to happen.
Okay. What about, I can tell, Susan, you had like made some issues with your speech.
Yes, I do. I have a voice enhancer. It's a little machine that you talk into the mic and it makes your voice louder. So that's what I've been using sometimes.
That helps.
It helps. Yeah, it helps. I took speech therapy. I don't want to take it anymore.
I heard that was really not invasive. I heard that speech therapy is very stringent, strict. It was very hard to do.
It is.
I have it today, actually.
Do you have to hold your tongue out and swallow? Hold your tongue and swallow.
I can do it.
That's not going to happen.
I've been doing it for a while, so it'll help with these muscles in the back of your throat.
Yeah, so that you don't choke.
It's hard, isn't it?
Got it. Last one. Yeah, I got it. Here, go.
Keep doing it, though, and it makes it stronger.
You just want me not to speak on the podcast, Daisy. That's
it. Keep occupied for a while. Oh, we have fun. I like that.
It's good.
I like this shop.
My wife bought the same cups on Amazon, Susan. Those are great cups.
So we were in Florida and we found that
at Ace Hardware.
Oh yeah. Oh, was it at Ace Hardware? Yeah, that was a huge Ace Hardware. That was an awesome store.
I see you drinking with a straw there.
Yeah, I can't tilt my head.
Well, I was told by a speech therapist that it's the worst thing we can do.
I know. I don't listen to her.
They say drinking liquor is also the worst thing to do. But you know what I say? You do you. You get that straw and I'm going to get my liquor, Susan. Right?
See, it's like, you follow the rules too strictly over there, Daisy.
I don't know if you listen well.
Living with MSA is just a challenging period. I mean, we have our challenges. Can you describe your day-to-day life? What do you do from morning to night?
When I wake up, I call my husband to get me out of bed. He comes and gets me, showers me every other day. He teases me a lot. And it's fun, you know.
But, I'm not even going to ask.
No, don't. No, don't.
You wouldn't like it. I don't like it, but I know they're joking because it's just the way they are. But I'm like, till I get it. Then I'm like,
Then he makes me breakfast sometimes. Sometimes Trisha does. And then my day still begins. I can't dress myself all by myself. I can't walk all by myself. I can't do anything all by myself anymore. He did build me some raised beds for my gardening, so I get to do my herbs.
Standing
up. You know, and he's really wonderful.
That is something that is dedication to the cause. First, your husband, I mean, it's him, but doing something as simple as raising flower beds or plant beds up high enough that you can actually still work with them is absolutely the epitome of what we need in MSA.
Yeah.
What a great guy.
That is a great guy.
Yes. He got lucky.
Now, we talked about it earlier, but do you have people that they don't understand what MSA is? Like, do you go to your general practitioner or things like that?
My general practitioner didn't know anything about it till I had it. Then she studied it. She's really wonderful.
Yeah, like dentists, everybody didn't, nobody knew what it was. Not one person.
A lot of misconceptions out there about it, that's for sure. That's what
MSA, they say multiple sclerosis. Oh, I know someone who is.
Say that one more time. What's that Medea meme where her holding the gun? You say that one more time.
Yeah.
I like that. We're going to have to start saying multiple system atrophy.
Yeah. So you have to say, you're right, David. I'm going to say that from now on.
Yeah.
So this is a tongue twister compared to a neurodegenerative disease. Like that one just does not roll off the tongue at all.
No, it doesn't.
Trish and Susan. Here goes a heartbreaker. How have you and your sister found ways to cope together as a family with this disease?
A lot.
Well, it helps we're a little bit ditzy.
Yeah.
So
very ditzy.
I wasn't blonde. Gonna say that.
Blonde. He's got blonde hair too.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's the hair color stripper because all the dye never takes it to the right color, so it's stripping now.
I wish I had a sister that had to live with me.
She called me blonde. You just heard.
She's so blonde, she doesn't get the blonde jokes.
No, I don't.
She doesn't understand them.
I do have a cousin that comes in as a caregiver with me.
Good.
2 days a week. That's so nice. I can have a little girlfriend.
Yeah.
Good. You need it.
It's definitely needed.
Is that involved with the volume? We'll edit it out.
What do you
think? It goes back to the last podcast. And the last podcast with Eric was absolutely funny, amusing with the medicine. Trish, how has your relationship with your sister changed since her diagnosis? I mean, has it gotten more lively, more interesting, more sad, more, things like that?
Yes, all of that.
Yeah, I mean, in that show.
Yeah.
So you take every minute, right? You take nothing for granted.
Exactly.
I can tell that too.
So it definitely brings you together. I mean, especially moving in. I'm sure there's got to be some friction at some point. You guys seem too happy and lovey-dovey, and as you say, I didn't say this, as you said, ditzy. But you two got to be so close to where to move in together and. Yeah. Still keep your peace, you know?
We've always been close. I think the only time we weren't was probably when I was a crappy teenager because, teenager, and she's married and with kids.
Yeah.
But then shortly after that, when I had kids, I was like, help. So she's been there for everything. For me, everything. So,
I bet. Yeah. Have you found specific ways to support your sister Susan's emotional well-being? I mean, everyone's different. Right? I hide it. I don't get emotional. I don't cry. I don't complain. You will never hear me complaining about poor me and this disease. I can't do it. I put it in a little box and I bury it in a box and I bury it in a box and I go take it somewhere in the ocean and throw it out, right?
That's a man.
Wait, literally. Does it say we have to cry?
Who said that?
Who said that?
Well, yeah, I said so. Yeah, there's times, and but when I cry, it's solo. It's in my car driving or it's by myself. I don't want to.
She said it.
It's a manly thing too. But there's a time and a place to cry. Absolutely. But
get it out.
Have you found specific ways to support the emotional aspects around this disease?
I hug her.
That helps.
Yeah.
Affection.
I've been here almost 2 years, and she used to cry a little bit when I was first here, but she just... came in, she's just said, this is what I have, this is how life is, and she just went with it and is still going with it.
Grateful for everything.
Yeah, you gotta be.
Her attitude, but she's always just been so great her whole life, like always just been happy and things are working out and a go-getter. So it's really just no
different. It's really hard for me in the beginning to take help from anybody. So yeah. I always wanted a helper. Wasn't the helpy.
I can see us being really good friends, Susan. We're just like, it's mm-hmm. like you're telling my story. I mean, I wasn't a nurse. That's
yeah.
the only difference I see.
Yeah.
Except and I don't have a Trish.
Well, you have your cousin 2 days a week, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Same. Susan, do you ever swat your sister away and say, let me do this? Stop helping me?
I used to.
You did it the other day.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. I was like, okay, go ahead, do it.
Susan, are you?
Something I can't do.
Yeah.
I forget I have the disease. Like, it's funny. It's like I say, oh, I'm going to have John over for dinner. She goes, I mean, I'm going to have John over for dinner. You know?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very swatty. I don't, when I need your help, I'll ask for your help. That's what goes for my family and my friends. When I tell people, like, you know, sounds really bad. It does, right? I'll literally say, like, I don't need you. But when I ask for your help, I need you at that point. This is a different way, you know?
I get swatted. I'm not the swatter. I get swatted.
I do that to her too sometimes. I'm just like,
She does.
You still try to cut your own food, your meat and stuff, Susan, or is that
done? No, I can't do that. I don't bother with that. I don't even bother with utensils sometimes, except if I'm out somewhere.
Daisy might want to mention her foam fork.
Yeah.
Her what?
Her fork with a foam handle that she's shown me 1,000 times.
Yeah, I'll show you. It's really helpful. My husband's getting it for me. It's really, really helpful. He made it. And the occupational therapist is the one that recommended it. She was telling us you can purchase them. But why purchase them when you can just make your own?
Yeah. Yeah, you can put foam on it.
Yes, it's like one of those pool noodles you put around that fork. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true, though, because when I first started, I had issues. I still got issues, like, holding papers and very thin objects, but, you know, very blunt and broad objects like this cup, I can do it perfectly fine. But
yeah,
I can see where the fork might need a bigger handle for sure.
When you eat like sandwiches and things that are finger foods, do you find yourself pushing the stuff out of them?
Yes, I find it. Yeah.
And then my grandma tells me, you're squeezing it too hard. I can't help it.
You know, I know. I can't turn the sandwich over. Like, you know, I want to turn it over.
There it is.
Yeah. That my stepdaughter gave me those for Christmas one year.
Oh, yeah. You can move your spoon. Fork, it has a slit in it. So,
yeah.
They fit in there.
I think I'll just put a fork and a spoon, like super glue it to my hand because I eat so much. I'm like, you know, why even take it out of your hand, you know?
I have to eat many times a day, little bits.
Yeah, a little bit, exactly.
I eat too much, I throw it.
Got a good grip on it.
I like that.
Chris and Daisy, I'm sorry, Chris and Susan. Ahead myself. What are some specific memories and moments that stand out with your journey with MSA? I mean, we know what the stereotypical MSA is. What are some times and moments that stand out about it?
Let's see.
Memories, it could be anything. Traveling, talking.
Getting to go to Florida for winter.
We went to Florida last winter. Yes. The people there were wonderful too.
Mm-hmm.
They're so accommodating with people in wheelchairs. For long trips, I take wheelchairs, you know.
Mm-hmm. And,
they're awesome. They have a lot of stuff to eat. It's hard in the winter here. It gets so stiff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. But I'm not going this year because it's too much on Trisha. It's just too much. I miss my dogs, my husband. So my husband doesn't.
Whoa. So you said your dogs before your husband. Unbelievable. Oh, oops. We know the hierarchy now.
I would say the same thing though. When I went to Michigan last week, I was like, I was in my Snoopy.
Yeah.
Last question I have, at least not comment, but last question. what are some, you know, words of inspiration, motivation you'd give to anybody, Susan, that has MS? And this could be applied to both of you, but what words? I think it's fair. We have never had a patient and a caregiver at the same time.
No.
So definitely like to hear from both of you. You know, what is a word or moments of inspiration you'd like to give someone who has MSA? And again, Trish, that's someone that's taking care of somebody.
Be grateful. Be grateful for everything. Doesn't matter that you can't walk as well as you're walking. Be grateful for that. You know? Mm-hmm. Everything. I'm grateful for everything. By saying thank you to everybody.
Well, you know, you've got to be ungrateful for something here, Susan. Come on.
No.
No, isn't that nice? That's what happens when you're a nurse for 38 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I can hear your words. I can kind of, because I can sense those similarities here. But you said you can't shower and dress and all that by yourself. Yeah. So I can hear you saying, don't take for granted if you can still do those things.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Like stirring my coffee.
Yeah. It's stirring your coffee? Good.
Well, no,
holding a fork with a noodle.
I hardly do anymore. I'm a life stirred. It's okay to go in big circles, right? But when you go in little circles.
Oh, my gosh.
It don't go. So
no, yeah. It doesn't go. It doesn't work.
That's probably the first thing I've taken for granted so far.
It's just with coffee cups. My son found that someone made it for a relative that had Parkinson's. It's really nice. It's weighted. It's really nice. I don't shake at all when I drink from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got some coffee cups. There's other cup tumblers and stuff like that, too, that have it's not a blade, but it has something built into the bottom where you just press or something and it stirs it automatically. Oh, it's not a blender. It's not a blender, but it's made specifically for a cup, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. And what about you, Trish?
Me?
What were your words of wisdom?
Oh, boy. I'm not good with wisdom. That's her department.
You've got to be good with knowledge.
Yeah. It's terrible to say, but I think I would have stayed out west and I wouldn't have the time. As much time with her like I am now.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that a lot. Yeah, I appreciate everything too. I've learned to appreciate more being here, helping Susan. Yeah. I don't know that I could do it for a lot of people. But definitely Susan, without a doubt, she was.
I've tried to sign up for a lot of the trials. I don't get accepted in any of them. I don't know why. But I'm donating my brain to Mayo Clinic. It's through, if you look at the MSA, Defeat MSA, they tell you, go to a brain support network. And they do it all for you. You cost $900 though.
Well, there's a place that you can go through it that doesn't cost anything. They pay for all that for you. They pay for your cremation for you.
Oh wow!
Where?
It's with the Defeat MSA.
Oh. Wow.
Keep searching.
We'll find out. We'll get it to you.
I've already done this. You can send it to the Mayo Clinic in Florida, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Just set in my brain.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is not really Florida. I mean, we don't, us southern Floridians will consider Jacksonville Florida. You know, there's a demarcation point. If they get snow and freezing, no.
We'll talk more about that later, because there is a way that you can get it done, because they're using it for science. You're mm-hmm. giving it to them, so it doesn't cost mm-hmm. you. So we'll figure that out. I'll help you with that.
Thank you. So it snows in Jacksonville?
Again, yeah. Yes. So really from a line from Orlando to Tampa, south of there, you want to reverse. It's not half as a child. I saw snow in south of Tampa, but that line from Orlando to Tampa, you almost never in your life is going to see snow. But above there, you have freezing and snow. Oh. Not the snow like Buffalo and Chicago.
No.
Yeah. You'll get it. All right. I lied. I got one more question. And I'm going to turn you sisters against each other. I'm sorry.
No, not really.
In relation to MSA, what is one thing you wish the other would not do anymore? Would stop doing? I'll give you an example. My wife says, don't carry things down the stairs. You're going to kill yourself. And yet I still keep trying to do it. She asked me to move the cat litter box downstairs to the big one, smart one. That's going to be interesting. But what's one thing that you wish the other person would just stop doing?
Talking with food or a straw in the mouth.
Really bothers her. I don't know. I gave her as I did that because she came.
You're right. She never has anything. She'll sit there for 20 minutes not saying anything. She'll put that straw in her mouth. I'm like, I have no idea.
Sorry. Well, I mean, if that's...
Actually, she was taking a drink and she asked you a question. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's doing it.
I guess that's the worst habit, right? That's okay.
It's a bad habit. And I wish she would stop. When she's dressing me, she hits my arms.
I push her elbows in so I can get her clothes on or off. Yeah.
Nobody else does it.
They're mannequin.
It's just that.
If that is the worst thing you got, I think we are set up for life. We're good.
You're good. Yeah. But I know what you mean, because my husband does it to me.
Yes.
Can't you use your mouth? No, but don't push my arms. Tell me.
Yeah, tell me. She just throws like my hand down because I don't have my hands in my mouth.
Well,
yeah.
I recall being little, and you always told me to sit on my hands and stop talking with my hands. So I no longer do that. And who does that all day? You are always. Your hands are.
Very expressive.
You got to be. I can imagine, especially in nursing, trying to communicate things.
Sorry, low bad.
You should turn the camera off.
Yeah, they're fighting behind the camera.
Dude, yeah, just caught what I said.
Oh, good.
Ladies, is there anything else that you would like to share for me in the podcast today?
I don't know.
Anything you want to plug? Yeah. Any social media? Any books? Any website? Blogs? Anything?
Blogs.
Anything.
I was curious, David. When were you diagnosed?
Me? Yeah, watch my video. No, I was just diagnosed last year in October.
Oh, that's right.
My symptoms started. The symptoms I know of for a fact started February 21. I ignored it for about a year, like
I did too.
Most men do. And then by the next year, that summer of last year, I literally took every appointment in the world, traveled everywhere, did anything and everything, and got diagnosed in about a year. So, I was pretty fortunate to have the time and the resources and support to travel for sure. And I'm still physically able to. So, yeah, it was.
I call him a newbie.
Yeah, I knew, but I'm a pleb for it. Was a real plug or something? Yeah, but I'm about just over two and three quarters years into totality.
Well, I appreciate you're that five for the podcast. It's great.
This is wonderful. Yeah, I would, like you say, I'm going to tell everybody what I have so they know about it.
Yeah, I'm on. Look, I'm not plugging myself here. I've been listened to and sought in most countries in the world. Like 250, 260 countries, whatever in the world. And so many people watch my videos, and you know, I didn't watch all of them, but you know, it keeps me going. You get people from every part of the country, right? countries that we may not like, may not agree with politically or whatever.
Yeah.
I get comments from China. I don't know how I get through to China and Taiwan. I don't know how in Russia, Ukraine, wow. Bulgaria. I mean, anywhere you can name in the world for the most part. And they send these I just posted a video a couple hours ago, and I got a comment while I was reading while here, saying, "Man, thank you for everything you've done. You're a role model. I wish my husband at MSA had a time to see somebody like you and to associate, to see what I'm going through, and they can compare it to themselves and have resources and things like that." But you know, this podcast with Daisy is another side of that, and you know, I didn't want to do it all with Daisy because I don't like talking so much, but. You know, it's definitely a resource. It's a way to vent, to get your feelings out there.
Yeah, I was watching his videos and I said, I'm going to reach out to him and ask if he wants to do podcasts with me.
Good.
That's fabulous.
He seems pretty nice.
Yeah,
she seems
really
nice.
So
amazing.
I owe it to Daisy. Daisy's the organizer. She's the person that's on top of everything. And I'm usually the procrastinator and I fix everything. So, you know, we work really good.
That's awesome.
So I want to thank both of you. You have been an awesome guest today for being with us and putting up with us.
Thank you.
Sharing your journey today with us, Susan. It's been really nice. Thank you so much, Trish, for helping your sister and packing up from Washington and moving all the way to New York. That's a big move. And she's going to be very grateful to have you in her life.
Oh, yes, great.
Now come the tears, but as we say goodbye, but keep in touch with us and let us know how things go. And we will definitely be talking to you.
We'd love to have you back on the podcast at any time, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. That's
beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you for putting up with coming.
Thank you.